Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Ultrasound Gel Podcast, gathering evidence from the literature. I am Mike Pratt, and I have with me today Craig Bolger and Jacob Avila, your two favorite co-hosts.
Hello.
Good morning.
Okay, today, exciting topic, exciting paper. The title of this research article is, Can Emergency Physicians Accurately Distinguish Retinal Detachment from Posterior Vitreous Detachment with Point-of-Care Ocular Ultrasound? This was published in the American Journal of Emergency Medicine, 2017. So what are we talking about here? It's the distinction between two ocular pathologies using ultrasound. Both of these pathologies, retinal detachment and posterior vitreous detachment, can present similarly clinically. Usually have some sort of vision loss, most of the time painless, and you got to figure out what's going on. The reason that this is important is because retinal detachment is a little more serious and oftentimes will require some sort of intervention or surgery, whereas posterior vitreous detachment is sometimes not a big deal. Now, there's a lot of overlap between these, but it is important to distinguish these. A lot of times what people in the emergency department are doing is getting an ophthalmologist to do a dilated fundoscopic exam where they can really distinguish these and then figure out the necessary interventions from there. But what if ultrasound could help you figure that out instead? So the question that they asked in this paper is, can emergency physicians accurately differentiate between retinal detachment and posterior vitreous detachment on point of care ultrasound? Now, before we get into how they did this study, I was hoping that we could discuss just a little bit about how to do this distinction when you're looking at the ultrasound images. Jacob, what do you think?
So before we go on, one thing that I want to mention is that PVDs and RDs in a non-traumatic patient actually exist along a spectrum. Usually you get this kind of shrinkage of the vitreous. Sometimes that vitreous shrinkage, this is as you get older, sometimes that vitreous shrinkage will kind of tug the vitreous off of the retina. Sometimes there's like adhesions between the vitreous detachment and the retina. If those detachments are strong enough, they'll actually pull the retina off. So they're usually a spectrum. As far as ultrasound itself, and the reason I say that is because you can have them together. The way that you can tell the difference on ultrasound is basically you take a linear probe transverse over the eye and find the optic nerve. That's kind of like an important landmark. And then look to see if you see any white stuff in the vitreous, which is going to be it looks like just a hypochoic ball on your ultrasound screen.
These are some very technical terms you're using.
Right. The little ball. So if in the little ball you see that white stuff, go dive into the optic nerve. That is a retinal detachment, and that's important. So the retina is actually attached to the optic nerve. The retina is actually kind of a continuation of the optic nerve, so it will be attached to the optic nerve. If that white stuff that you see is diving into the optic nerve, it's a retinal detachment. If you see a kind of white line and it's going over the optic nerve, so not necessarily attached to the optic nerve, then that is a vitreous detachment. If you don't see that optic nerve, then it's very difficult to tell which one of them it is. So the optic nerve is key here.
So what did they do? They said, can ER doctors tell the difference between these two findings with ultrasound? And so what they did is they took everyone from beginner to advanced, gave them a brief tutorial, essentially showing them what these pathologies would look like, and then had them review 30 separate scans with both pathologies on them, retinal detachment, vitreous detachment, and then they threw in 3 normal scans. And they had them say, what pathology is this and how confident are you in your answer? This was a single blinded, non-randomized cross-sectional study. For anybody who knows this group, they are fairly ultrasound savvy. I'm assuming even their least ultrasound savvy person still has some skills. And so what they did is reviewed these videos and decided what they were, and on a 5-point Likert scale said how confident they were in their decision. They also took some basic demographics of this group. 5 of them had done 0 to 25 point-of-care ocular ultrasounds. four of their physicians had done 25 to 50, and four of them had done more than 50. So kind of all across the board. They used a linear probe, opto settings, a hyperechoic line that did not cross the optic nerve. They defined as retinal detachment. It had to be uniformly thick and more echogenic than a PVD.
Yeah, I think that the simplified definition that we want people that are learning ultrasound to remember is that retinal detachment, you got to find the nerve, and it should, at some point, you have to make sure you're sweeping or fanning through the whole eye to see this, but at some point it should go back to the optic nerve. And secondly, it's a lot, generally, much more hyperechoic structure.
Yep. And it swirls a lot less, and that was their final thing. So the retinal detachment, often when we teach it, we have people look left to right and look for undulation of the retina. It will stay linear and undulate versus a vitreous detachment swirls like dirty laundry.
Got it.
Why has it got to be dirty laundry?
I guess it could be clean laundry, but I usually don't wash. I don't wash it if it's clean. I mean, I guess in my house when I don't know what has pee on it.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but what if it's at the end of the cycle and it's clean? But it's like just, I don't know.
Actually,
What is clean in the ER, though?
Sometimes you're putting them in the dryer to get rid of bed bugs. Don't forget about that.
Oh, right. That's disgusting. Thank you.
That's super dirty laundry.
Yeah.
All right.
There's bed bugs floating around in your washer. All right. So they had 13 physicians who each reviewed 30 clips, which they came to a total of 390 clips. For retinal detachment, this crew had a 74.6% accuracy rate with a 95% confidence interval. That was pretty tight. Posterior vitreous detachment had an 85.7% accuracy rate. And for the normal ultrasounds, they were 94.9% accurate. On the scale of 1 to 5 on their confidence, most of them were in the 3 to 4 range with an average of 3.75. There was no significant difference in accuracy or confidence and their experience level, which is interesting, as I feel like those less experienced should probably be less confident, but what do I know? And Mike, do you want to tell us about some of the limitations?
I think that when you look at these results, you think, well, that's not very good enough. That's not very good enough. And that's the problem with this. This is something that we kind of need to know the answer. And like Jacob mentioned, there is a lot of overlap here. So that makes it even more complicated. So when you're talking about the limitations of this, the problem is this going to change anything? Is it clinically necessary to distinguish them so much on ultrasound that you don't need an ophthalmologist? I guess that would be the goal, so that we could then say, well, these patients only need to see the ophthalmologist urgently, whereas these ones with retinal detachments more emergently. But I don't know if that's realistic. Now, remember that when these physicians were looking at these clips, these were all pre-recorded. So this was not done prospectively. We did not assess their acquisition of these images at all. That is, point of care ultrasound is a complex skill. You gotta combine the knowledge with the mechanical ability to record the clips and manipulate the probe. So this only assessed part of that, whether they could look at an image and tell if it had a pathology. And these were images that they carefully curated to specifically show pathologies. So when you're getting your own images, it may not be as black and white. So that may have inflated their accuracy, which was already on the lower side. And secondly, there weren't any scans that showed both of these, and we know that they can coexist. So there weren't any scans that showed both a vitreous detachment and a retinal detachment, which you can sometimes see. So that would have been interesting to see how they interpreted those. I say that because in a previous study that we reviewed on the Ultrasound Gel podcast, they looked at how good emergency physicians were at looking at all sorts of posterior pathology of the eye, and they found that there was a ton of retinal tears that were missed, and most of them were misdiagnosed as a posterior vitreous detachment.
I would also say that if you have a reason to be doing the ultrasound, which again, this isn't assessing that clinical application component, so if they have acute vision loss and you find something on your ultrasound, that's something that should prompt, at least for me, to get ophthalmology involved, because whether it's acute or not, because I know sometimes we can have vitreous debris and other posterior chamber lucencies that can mimic vitreous hemorrhage. But if I don't know if that's acute or not and they have acute findings, I'm probably getting the specialist involved, as vision is a pretty life-altering deficit if not corrected.
And when you think about it that way, at least they were pretty accurate at finding normal ultrasound. So if you're trying to just say normal or not normal, I guess it depends on your pretest probability, but that could be useful clinically. So I will summarize this study. It was, again, a prospective study where they had physicians looking at pre-recorded clips to determine whether they had a vitreous detachment or a retinal detachment. And the results showed that they were 75% correct with retinal detachment, 85% for posterior vitreous detachment, and 95% correct for normal ultrasounds. So when you're thinking about how important this diagnosis is, that's probably not good enough to distinguish them. So my take-home points from this are that distinguishing between retinal detachment and posterior vitreous detachment should be done with an abundance of caution. Since our accuracy is not perfect, these can occur simultaneously, and this is an important diagnosis to make. Another point is just to remember the difference between these two pathologies. Generally, when you're looking for a retinal detachment, in comparison to a vitreous detachment, it will be more hyperechoic, less mobile, and tethered to the optic nerve. Thanks again for listening to us. We thank the authors for performing this really neato study. And remember that you can contact us through our website, ultrasoundgel.org, where you can also sign up for our mailing list and never miss a podcast. Also, feel free to contact us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. We'd love to hear from you. And we will talk to you later.
More pressure, more gel, more pressure, more gel,
more ultrasound gel podcast.
Okay, no more sniffles. Get those sniffles out. Gross. Okay.
I just choked on it.
Okay.
La mano de Dios.